In Florida, you'll find the environment to inspire what's inconceivable, the chance to explore what's inexplicable, and the space to accomplish what's unimaginable. You'll no longer have to wait for the future. You can harness it. Florida, the future is here.
AT&T and Verizon are making some big futuristic moves as of late. Facing a fork in the road, they each take different directions. The question then becomes, who will make the right move?
This is Tech News Briefing from the Wall Street Journal.
Hello, this is the Wall Street Journal's Tech News Briefing. I'm Tanya Bustos in New York. It seems that two of the biggest telecom giants have had big hearts-to-hearts with themselves lately, contemplating what the future holds. It's an uncertain time for both AT&T and Verizon, and if their recent courses of action are any indication, the time has come to make some moves. With its $85 billion agreement to buy Time Warner, AT&T made it clear it's looking to television. Verizon, on the other hand, goes the way of Silicon Valley, looking to companies like AOL and Yahoo to take the next steps. What are those next steps? Let's get the very latest. Joining us now is Wall Street Journal reporter Ryan Knutson. Welcome back, Ryan.
Thanks for having me.
So it's interesting to see here. We have the two big rivals in this industry, and they're each grappling with this slow growth, each taking very different approaches. I just wonder why wireless is having such trouble growing, because you figure we're living in a wireless world. They already have millions of subscribers. Why isn't that enough to sustain?
That's a great question. It's really all about growth. These are companies that emerged from the AT&T monopoly in 1984. And then, you know, phone growth was sort of in the beginning. And then the cellular business came along and there was massive growth because they had, you know, millions of people every single quarter were signing up a brand new cell phone subscription.
Right.
And then just as, you know, most people started having a cell phone, then smartphones came along and that was even more money that consumers were willing to pay. But now the vast majority of Americans have a smartphone and they're already sort of topped out on how much they're willing to pay. I mean, bills are expensive enough. And because the industry is fully saturated, the four national wireless carriers are competing very aggressively against one another for a limited supply of customers. And you're seeing constant new promotions. The iPhone 7 was just being offered for free. So it's enormous
right.
price competition. And one of the ways that the carriers have competed is they've increased the size of their data plans so that that's the incentive. Oh, you can get, you know, 10 gigs from AT&T for this much money. And all of the new money that is coming out of the mobile economy is going to Silicon Valley. I mean, Facebook and Google are making billions of dollars off of advertising, and it's coming off of the networks that AT&T and Verizon have built, but they're not able to capture any of that revenue stream because they don't have control over what apps you download and what advertisements you may view on those apps.
Interesting. So let's talk about the big news from AT&T, obviously, the big acquisition of Time Warner. Ultimately, what it seems to essentially be is a bet that the future of TV is mobile.
Yeah, both AT&T and Verizon have noticed that the majority of the traffic on their networks is videos. And
mm-hmm.
they're saying, we're carrying all this video. How can we profit from that? Because, you know, when you watch a video on Facebook, the only thing it does for AT&T and Verizon is it just means that there's more data traffic and maybe you want to buy a 4 gigabyte bucket instead of a 6 gigabyte bucket.
Right.
So what they're trying to do here is own more of the value chain. They bought DirecTV a year ago, which gave them big scale in the satellite TV business. But that's also a declining business. More people are cutting the cord. So, but they're trying to use that to leverage the creation of a internet-based streaming platform. So AT&T is later this year going to launch DirecTV Now, which is going to be an internet video streaming service. Owning the content gives them just a big a lot of muscle in negotiating other content deals, because if they own Time Warner and all that content, then if anybody else wants to come in and offer an online streaming service, they're going to have to license that Time Warner content. So that gives them just sort of more chips with which to negotiate.
Okay.
It's sort of one way to look at it. I mean, the challenge that AT&T is going to find itself in is, one, it's going to be one of the most indebted companies on earth following this deal. It's going to have – it's not clear how it's going to shake out, but it could have, you know, in the ballpark of more than $150 billion and $170 billion. In debt, which puts it up there with banks, which have
wow.
the most debt, and so it has to execute very well on this strategy. But all of the legacy media businesses like Time Warner and Disney, and then the distribution methods through like DirecTV, they're under pressure from cord cutting because You don't just turn on your TV or get your cable anymore. Now you can go on Facebook and you can watch videos that have been produced by BuzzFeed or Complex or other new entrants into the media space that are completely detached from this thing. So or Snapchat even. You know, I mean, like these are videos that other people have been producing, or in some cases are being produced by established media players. But still, they're gonna have to defend a legacy business that is under pressure from a lot of startups.
Yeah, there's a lot of uncertainty there. So it brings up another strategy. Let's talk a little bit about what Verizon is doing, because they're going the way of online advertising. We see that in its 2015 acquisition of AOL. So it sets its sights on Silicon Valley. It seems to look at the success of Google, of Facebook, and they say, that's how we become a contender.
Yeah, so Verizon has looked at the same situation, the fact that millennials tend to not have cable subscriptions. And they've decided that, look, anything that resembles a fat cable bundle over the internet is not what millennials are interested in. Millennials will sit around and they'll watch videos on Facebook and Snapchat, and they'll scroll on Twitter and they'll watch things that way. But they don't want to sit down and like click around through channels, which is sort of what AT&T is going to be creating with its DirecTV Now thing. So what Verizon wants to do is it's investing in a lot of media companies that are probably not household names but have huge tens of millions of followers among teenagers and people who are in their very early 20s, like Complex Media, Awesomeness TV. And then they're trying to bundle that into a mobile video app and distribute these videos, sort of sprinkle them around the internet on Yahoo properties and on AOL properties. And then primarily they want to make money off of that by selling advertising against those videos. AT&T is going to be able to get a lot of advertising dollars via DirecTV and via the Time Warner acquisition that it has. But Verizon really more has its sights set on competing against Google and Facebook if you're trying to reach people by, buy an ad with Yahoo or with AOL, which Verizon now owns. And so it's sort of going more in the online advertising world, whereas AT&T is going to be more sort of defending the revenue streams that it has paid billions of dollars to acquire via Time Warner and DirecTV.
Yeah, and if you look at the challenge for Verizon, you look at the Yahoo deal, for example, that in itself is a weakened brand. I wonder, ultimately, though, who is taking a bigger gamble here?
It's definitely AT&T, because they are taking on so much debt, and they've bought these big established companies. They bought DirecTV for around $50 billion. They're buying Time Warner for $85 billion.
And that's what it comes down to, right? Yeah.
Yeah. And so for Verizon, they've spent a little bit more than $10 billion on AOL and Yahoo. So Verizon is what they're really trying to build something new, like create new value that's going to compete against Google and Facebook for online advertising. But they're not putting a ton of money behind that strategy. If it pays off, they're making a small bet that could result in billions of dollars of revenue for them in the future. Mm-hmm. But if it fails, they didn't bet the farm on it. Whereas if things really turn sour for AT&T, they have paid a lot of money for these companies that they are going to have to pay down that debt, and it's going to have to work out for them. So they're both risks, but Verizon has put less money on the table.
It'll be interesting to see how this will all pan out. Two different strategies, two big kings.
Yeah, these companies were in lockstep. I mean, they're basically twin sisters, for their history, and now they're finally starting to go to different colleges.
Very interesting. That's a good way to put it. Ryan, thank you as always.
Thanks for having me.
Once again, we've been speaking to the Journal's Ryan Knudsen. You can check out more of his story at WSJ.com. That ends this edition of the Tech News Briefing. For the Wall Street Journal, I'm Tanya Bustos in New York. Thanks for listening.
WSJ Podcasts. Listen ambitiously.